Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good morning to you. As we get ready for, well, a lot. Phillies and Dodgers on Saturday and the Eagles and the Broncos on Sunday. Yes, sir.
And I think Joe got a new hat. I think Joe might have gotten a hat that's not a clip in the back.
Oh, it's a fitted hat. Look at you.
Is this a fitted hat or is this like one of those stretchy, one size fits like
that's fine, though. It's better than having that thing in the back. Yeah.
How bad's my hair right now?
Not great.
My hair really bad now.
Put the hat back on. Not backwards. You look
at you.
So I don't know.
Over there.
A new Phillies hat. And it is a pretty cool hat, man.
Thank you, sir.
Very nice.
Thank you.
So let me see.
Yeah.
It's like the stretchy kind on the inside. But it's still a lot better than the clip it.
Be good for your big noggin, Richie.
Well, I wish that could. My face is that my head is not the problem. It's my face.
Yeah, it is big.
My face is gigantic. So you put the hat on top.
Isn't your face part of your head?
Yeah, I guess
last
so.
Last time I checked.
It's an excellent point, Jason.
Jason, did you ever have a teammate with a gigantic something?
I had a few.
Six-tool player?
Different head. Different head.
Let's make some noise. Let's make some noise. Come on.
No secrets in a locker room, Joe. That's what you missed out on. You, who quit sports. There's a lot of unspoken, really enthralling concepts.
Can we drill down for a second?
I think he's stagnated.
Well, I did. I stopped playing sports in sixth grade.
He never developed past a certain point because he didn't get to do anything.
All right, let me ask two questions. And let's just find out if we can't find out, but what do we believe? James Seltzer, was Randy Johnson called the big unit because he's like 6'11" or because like the other reason?
Both.
All right. Ben Davis, was Ryan Howard called the big piece because he's a big man and he was batting in the middle of the lineup or for a different reason?
Why are you so tantalized?
Well, I'm just saying, if we're going here, let's go all the way.
We all wonder.
I mean, one guy's called the big piece, one guy's called the big unit.
The big unit!
He was a big piece of the lineup.
Uh-huh.
That's what Charlie said.
It's important. Yeah.
Now we're getting into Jason's line of humor.
Yeah, for sure. This is right on my own.
All right, 215-592-9494.
Just be hanging out.
That's right. Let's get to A.J. Brown. Let's get to how he started yesterday when he addressed the situation. So he said a lot of different things, but before he even fielded questions, he had sort of an opening statement, if you will. It wasn't scripted. It wasn't written down. But he spoke from his heart. Here's what he said.
First off, I want to start out by saying, obviously, Sunday after the game, I let my frustrations boil over. I didn't speak to the media. I had a chance to correct my frustrations, and I continued to let it boil over. That's on me. I take full accountability on that, posting that. My message on Twitter wasn't directed at anyone in the building. Not my coaches, not my quarterback, my GM, nobody. Like I said, I take full accountability. I have an open communication with all my coaches and with my quarterback as well. Me and my coaches, KP, Nick, we discuss weekly about trying to get this thing on the same page.
All right, that's AJ. Yeah, so let's get to one more piece of audio before we break it all down. He had been asked about, is it strange being 4-0? But, the numbers, your numbers are small, obviously. And he does a pretty deep dive into the wide receiver mindset. I found this fascinating. Here's AJ.
Absolutely, it is tough, because you want to help contribute to the win, Obviously, it's been a little tough,
got the ball in the second half of the Rams game, not getting as many targets to help contribute. But, you know, it is tough. It's tough to stay engaged because we're on an island. You know, a lot of things have to go right. The ball has to come. Guys have to block up front, you know, and then we got to do our job and win and then make the play. So when you don't get targets, you don't see the ball for half the game, 2 hours. Man, it's hard to stay engaged, but, you know, we're professionals and we continue to try to, you know, make the most of it when the numbers call.
All right, that's AJ.
That brings up a really good point. I mean, there's a lot that goes into him getting the ball, yeah. And there have been problems up front, you know, with Landon, with his injuries, with Lane being in and out of the lineup, mostly out of the lineup.
Well, let's get to that with Jason. So, Jason, the O-line thing, this came up. A couple callers have brought it up, and it's very hard for me to assess. So when a lineman has certain types of injuries, let's say the nature of these two with Landon and Lane.
Lane, yeah.
When you play through them, can you get like fully healthy, so to speak? I know nothing's like fully healthy, but can you play through it in 3 or 4 weeks and be like back to good, back to normal?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the degree of the injuries that they're kind of fighting through, or like, you know, what within. Yes, the vast majority of players that are injured that are playing, their injuries are healing week over week and getting better.
Yeah.
There are sometimes pressures to play with an injury that, you know, might not get better until an off season, right?
Sure.
Until you're going to wait, and those are typically things that require surgery that aren't going to repair themselves. But most injuries with time, your body heals as the season goes along, and you can kind of re-aggravate some. And that's where you'll see like a hamstring injury. Like we'll wait until we feel confident that the player is good enough to play, but not still so hampered that he's going to re-injure this and then be dealing with it for another 5 to 6 weeks.
So, but most of the time you're asking the question, can I make it worse if I play?
Yeah.
And if they say probably not, then you're going to play.
Then you're playing.
Because we have wondered if they should sit out a game. Like that came up early. A couple callers, should they just sit out a game? I mean, I don't know, but...
Yeah, I mean, and John's just saying, like, you know, I had a sports hernia surgery in 2014, and I came back, and honestly, I probably came back too early. But the moment they told me that I could go out there and I had no more risk of re-injuring this, I'm going out and playing, brother.
Absolutely.
Whatever I got to do.
Yep.
And, you know, I couldn't really jog during the week without tour at all. I could get through practice and do plays. I couldn't open up, and then I'd get to game day, do that, and then I could function. But it probably wasn't... You know, I wasn't my best version of myself. Was I the best thing for the team? I don't even know the answer to that.
But probably.
And that's kind of where a lot of the times you are as a starter, especially a really good player, where it's like, man, you know, is this guy better at 75% than the next guy at 100? With Landon Dickerson, that guy has been such a big impact in our ability to run the football well. And, like, I have not seen a guard move people the way he does. He is a big part of it. Lane Johnson, I think everybody in Philadelphia knows the degree at which he's important to the success of the offense. So, yeah, I mean, listen, the line's been banged up. They're going out there. They're giving it their best, and I think that it's going to improve. But yeah, that's been something to keep an eye on.
So, reminder tomorrow: big programming here on WIP from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. after our show. A big pep rally, Philly's pep rally for Red October. It's going to be at Stateside Live. That's what formerly was known as Xfinity Live. So if you can get there for the 8 hours, Ben, I think you're going to be there for a stretch tomorrow, right?
Yes, with the midday show.
It's awesome, man.
For an hour.
So
yeah,
Joe and
Fritz and I, too, 11 to 12 with the midday.
Sweet.
Nice.
So what's up with everyone else but me getting the invite?
I'm sure you could get on if you wanted to.
No.
You'll be napping at the Borgata.
You don't want to.
We
you're
know.
Coming. Yeah. What are you talking about?
That's nap time for the
exactly.
Hammer. Let's get to Rick. And no offense to them. I'm just saying I do frequently nap in the afternoon. Rick and Easton, good morning, buddy.
Yeah, the Dodgers and Phillies reminds me a little bit of who the winner of the Oregon-Ohio State game last year was going to be the national champion.
Rick, I thought the same exact thing. That was a 1-8 matchup that was brutal for the one, and you have this every once in a while, and it does feel like the two best teams in baseball are about to play in the division series.
Yeah, you alluded to that earlier, them being the best two teams. As far as Bader over Realmuto, listen, I'm all for the energy and the hot hand right now, and the younger eyes on the bat. I'm not only just pushing for Bader over Realmuto. I'm not sure I want him hitting fourth, fifth, or even sixth. His age in the postseason with his bat speed just concerns me. It just does.
Well, me too.
Lizardo, I definitely.
But we got to give him credit for rounding in a decent form this year.
He really did, but his RBI total, you know, just really isn't there. And we just give him a big pass, the greatest catcher in baseball and all that. I just think his offense is not going to be the best for us. But look, I guess we're going to find out. I definitely think Lizardo needs to go game two, because when you're going up against Ohtani, Snell, Yamamoto, which is critical, I agree with Ben 1,000,000%. Our bats is going to be more of an issue over the bullpen and our starters. But you're going to have to beat Ohtani twice, possibly, and Snell and Yamamoto. And the Dodgers, you know, they have that Ohtani, Betts, Friedman gauntlet. We don't have that.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the Phillies can win. They're going to have to get hot, and they're going to have to get hot early and take advantage of the home field advantage.
Well, I'm with you on I guess everything other than I'd go Ranger over Lizardo. But Rick, give me an answer, buddy, for a combination of two roles from an actress.
Katharine Hepburn. Guess who's coming to dinner on Golden Pond?
Yeah, for sure. That's a big one. James, that's not the one you were thinking though, right?
No, it's not. But no, my winning answer is still sitting out there.
You got it, my man. Let's listen, speaking of answers, to an answer from Rob Thompson yesterday. We talked to him about the lineup with, you know, because the premise was, you know, you got Bader now, obviously, and Trey back to one. Let's listen to what he said about Bader with Trey back. How do you fit them in as far as who bats where? Essentially, where does Bader hit now that Trey goes back to the leadoff spot?
Yeah, that's a good question, because Trey will lead off. Now, when Bader went through a really hot stretch, now the last couple of weeks he's kind of cooled off a little bit, and Bohm's really swung the bat well, so that spot behind Harper is going to be a right-handed bat, just not sure which one it's going to be yet. You know, we're going to have some conversations in the next couple of days and see where we land, but Bohm's been really hot, and it's important to have some guys down at the bottom that can get on base to turn the lineup over to get to Turner and Schwarber and Harper. So, you know, it's a good problem to have, to tell you the truth.
Sure.
Makes our lineup really deep if everybody's swinging back.
So one thing about Rob Thompson through the years I've noticed, when he gives answers, they are pretty forthcoming, and there's some tells in there. And I thought he had a tell in the midst of answering that question, late in his answer about Bader, he referenced it's important to have people down at the bottom of the lineup.
I heard that too.
And that tells me that Bader is probably 7.
Or 8.
Or 8.
I think so too. And I think Bohm is clearly clean up with that answer.
Bohm is going to bat 4. And then, Ben, do you go with Marsh 5?
I think you kind of have to, yeah. Yeah. I know you don't trust him, but he's been really good.
I know.
I mean, for a guy that ended up over 280 and he didn't have a hit in April,
He batted 303 since May. May 1st, he's a 303 hitter.
Yeah.
You don't do that by accident.
Yeah. John, that one's shaky, man.
But you don't do that by accident, but he did this during the regular season, and I haven't seen him do it in the post. I am.
He's never done this in the regular season for what's worth. I mean, this is the best he's been as a Philly. And I'm nervous too, but I'm just saying it is the best he's been.
All right, so let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day. Both Phillies related, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin Certified One Owner pre-owned pickup trucks and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. First poll question: if Ranger is fully healthy, and he did get dinged up in the last start when that line drive hit him, but if he's fully healthy, who should start game two for the Phils, Lizardo or Ranger? Second poll question: should I wear the full Phillies fantasy camp uniform for the Phils playoffs again? John, it sounds like you're leaning no on that.
Well, it sounds like you don't have your heart in it, buddy.
I don't.
Sounds like your guts are saying, I don't want to do this. So what would the point be? You don't want to force this. You don't
AJ Brown doesn't want to play this in this offense, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Well, okay.
You know, see what I just did right there?
Compared yourself to one of the greatest wide receivers.
I'm just saying, he'd rather be Puka Nacua.
And really, frankly, I don't want your guts talking.
I can't believe how much you underrate Puka Nacua.
He's really good, James. I never said he wasn't. I just said it.
No, you did.
We said he was a top five receiver in the sport.
And I said he isn't.
And he is. He's a top five receiver in the sport. He might be a top one receiver in the sport.
All right, let's go to Kelsey. Jason.
He might be the MVP. Here we go. NFL.
It's about opportunity. It's called the Michael Carter Williams theory. If you get opportunity, you get stats. Now, Jason, obviously I'm joking a bit there. He's outstanding.
Yes.
But above Nacua,
who do you have?
I've got Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
I've got Chase. I've got AJ. I've got CeeDee. And I got to figure out my fifth. Am I wrong?
If you don't have a fifth,
well,
he's
fifth. Have a fifth.
I got to look at healthy Tyreek Hill.
I hate to say it. He's better than AJ. Like, I think Puka's
he's
better
not,
than AJ.
He see, James, this is what AJ's frustrated about.
Yeah,
that
I don't
you
agree
think
with that.
That.
I do.
That's what he's frustrated about.
I think
about.
Puka's like a top two receiver in the sport right
Jason,
now.
Jason, break it down.
I think that Puka is, for what he is asked to do in L.A., absolutely phenomenal.
He
and
is.
It takes a very special player to do all of the things that he's doing there. And I think if you put AJ in Puka's role, he would be less effective. But for sure, if you put Puka in AJ's role, he would be less effective. It's not as simple as who's better than who. And I think AJ is one of the best receivers. I also think Puka is one of the best. His skill set for how they utilize all the motions and having him slide inside and insert and get out and move around. It's
unbelievable.
It's very impressive to watch.
I do like and that Lions guy also. There's a Saint and a Brown.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
You can't pick him if you don't even know his name.
I love that
He's
guy.
Great.
I love that guy.
The reason Puka and Amon-Ra, a big reason why they're both so dangerous, is they can block the hell out of you. Yeah. They will destroy
you. Well, he reminds me of Robert Woods like that.
In a lot of similar ways.
And Hines Ward.
Insert them inside the C gap to insert for players that normally you can't block with a wide receiver.
Yeah.
These wide receivers can block linebackers at times. They can hold their own against linebackers at times. That's amazing.
No, it's great. I am a fan of them. I want to be clear.
Those two are perfect for the system and what they're utilizing them as, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. All right. Final thing here with Jason. We love having Jason with us every Thursday morning. So let's do a little Eagles-Broncos.
Okay.
So we've heard from a couple of our experts this week that, and I forget who, this. It all runs together. We have Jaws, we have Shield, we have Ray, we have Seth.
Okay.
Couple of them said, like, the Broncos are pretty freaking good, and their defense is outstanding.
They're very good on defense, and they were probably, if not the best defense, right up there with us last year. Like, this is a team that's been consistently very, very good on defense now for 2 years. Offensively, they've been hit or miss. Like, Bo Nix put a pretty good game this last week together, so maybe that's trending. Sean Payton's obviously a tremendous coach offensively, so that'll be fun to watch those guys go up against Vic. But this is a tall task for an offense that has been, largely not what it should be. Now going against one of the best defenses in the NFL, for sure. And it'll be interesting to see the way they attack them. I mean, this is a 3-4 defense. Vance Joseph has been successful for a long time. They have great players on that side. They've been getting into these condensed formations and 12 and 13 personnel and trying to do that to get the run game going, which hasn't really worked very well to date. Do you try and spread that out? Do they stay in base? Do they match with nickel? And I'm waiting to see kind of how that all unfolds, honestly.
Yeah. So Surtain, for those that don't know, he was the defensive player of the year last year, corner for the Broncos.
Yeah.
Do you think they put him on AJ, like, take him? It's not just because, like, he's really good and it's a great matchup, but, like, the psychology of if he is handling AJ, now AJ might be really ticked, and now it causes a problem for Jalen and Nick. Like, is there a psychology to that matchup that Sean Payton might try to exploit?
I'll say this. I hope they do that, because 9 times out of 10, if they're matching one guy with another guy, they're playing a lot of man coverage. And if you look at the Eagles versus man coverage and Jalen Hurts, they have just annihilated teams. The types of defenses we have struggled with have been more zone coverage based. So while that might hinder AJ's production as an offense and as a team, bring the man on, baby. I think you put man against our team and the players that we have and the quarterback and what he brings to the table, I feel very confident in the Eagles having success against that. I also, like, you know, just because a player matches somebody, there's ways to free guys up in man coverage, right? If they want to play man and you build a bunch and they try and match all those guys, it's very, very difficult. And you can do all these mesh concepts and things to free guys up. So, you know, listen, Surtain is the best corner in football. So he's a tremendous player. But I think the Eagles, in their own right, are phenomenal against man coverage. Yeah.
Last thing, Jason, now that we're talking corners, I just figured let's go here.
Yeah.
So you didn't play with them, Quinion and Cooper.
Yeah.
But holy mackerel, man.
Dude, it's been impressive. I mean, Quinion, obviously, you know, both of them as rookies too, like just coming out the gate and being fantastic. And Quinion, I feel like largely has been a little bit more unheralded for whatever reason. Yeah. And recently, you know, I think it was he the player of the week or defensive player of the week or something like that. He got some award this week where it was like, all right, he's finally being acknowledged. And maybe Surtain gave him some love in the media. He's turning into one of the best corners in all of football. And to have that on a team, just to be able to lock down a side or lock down a specific guy, is a amazing asset to have as a defense. And Cooper, to be able to play inside and out, like, he's shown that he can go outside. He can play the nickel position. He can play safety. Very savvy, very athletic. Both of those guys, how young they are.
He tackles everything.
The physicality is so effective.
It's so rare to have a guy that can do all that, right? Yeah. Like, typically you have a corner that is a little bit lighter and he can guard anybody in the league. Typically you got a safety that's a bigger body guy that you want to exploit in coverage. Yeah. You can't do that with this guy. You can line him up as a nickel, inside leverage on a number two receiver, and he will fill a B gap. And he will also run with the number one down the field. Like, it's just, it's a remarkable piece to have, especially in a defense that likes to do as be as multiple as what Vic Fangio wants.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting with the Eagles salary cap in future years, because they've been very, very heavy on offense with the money in the last 5 years or so. But in a year, they're going to pay Jalen Carter, probably. And in 2 years, they're going to be paying, you know, Dejean and Quinion. And, you know, it's going to start flipping the cap a little bit, because they're already paying Bond, you know, $50 million. And anyway, they got some guys to pay, and it's a good problem to have. For Jason, love having you in studio, man.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy the Phillies playoffs, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
listen, I'm going to, for sure.
Let's see you down there.
Let's go, baby.
All right, there he is, Jason Kelce, with us in studio every single Thursday morning.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.